Right, Mr. PA man. Fantastic. That's very good. Will it whistle if I'm here? You'll see. That's really good. Thank you very much, Simon. Thanks for your welcome. So lovely to see some real Norfolk folks. Contrary to property, actually, you look normal. That's how to ingratiate yourselves with the locals. It's fantastic. What a beautiful county you have. What beautiful people. What a beautiful church. What a lovely church. And what great leaders you have. So I'm here with my wife, Corinne. And I'm going to talk to you, take you through a passage. But I just got various little introductory comments to make. So if you hang with me, we will make it legal and get to a Bible passage in a bit. But different things. Corinne, why don't you come and join me as well? So we're from Kettering. So where's that? Okay, that's along the A11 and then the A14, past Cambridge, on the way to Birmingham. Halfway along is Kettering. It's up from Bedford, down a bit from Leicester. So it's, we're sort of East Midlands, sort of East Anglia. Originally, I grew up in Harlow and then Bishop Stortford. So we were part of Bishop Stortford Community Church. You might know them. Some really dear friends still there. And it's been great. God led us in an amazing way to Kettering. Maybe Corinne will just tell you a little bit about that. He says, looking at his notes and thinking, what were we going to do? Very good. Yeah, so we've got three children, 24, 22, 20. And I know we don't look old enough for that. Oh. So actually you do. That's good. So, Corinne, why don't you just tell us just that those thoughts you had about a little bit of our journey.
I think the key thing I want to say this morning is actually expect the unexpected and learn to enjoy and go with the flow of the unexpected. Because we'd been part of Bishop Stortford Community Church for 20 plus years, quite happy. We'd perhaps been involved in virtually every area of the church. And at that time, we'd just set up an outreach to children on the council estate that we actually lived on. And it was going really, really well. We felt real burden from God that this is what we should be now doing. So we set that up. And God decided he had other plans. Basically, we sort of were gripped, well, particularly Adrian, was gripped by God's heart for Kettering. We'd never been to Kettering. We didn't know anybody in Kettering at all. But it soon became exceptionally clear that actually that's where God wanted us to go. So much so that within 5 months from nothing, we were living in Kettering, having sold our house the day after we put it on the market. So it had to be God if that was the case. And it was a journey that has taken... Well, we're still on that journey, aren't we now? Yeah. Still on that journey. And we still have learnt to expect the unexpected with God, even though we've been in Kettering for 12 and a half years. And some days it's been very painful. Some days have been really great fun. But I think the key thing for me that I've grown in is actually in learning to enjoy the unexpected with God, because it's a roller coaster, but it's great when you get to the top and you can go all the way down and you're, yes! So, yeah, expect the unexpected. It's good fun.
Great, thanks. Yeah, so we're meeting a nightclub. So there's something we didn't expect. A nightclub went bust in Kettering, and originally it was on the market for like $350,000, and they wanted to get rid of it because the bank owned it, and they went for $250,000, and in there, so somebody take it for $210,000. So we did, sort of fully kitted out nightclub, so we pretty much just had to paint it white because it was black inside. But other than that, we have an amazing facility in the middle of town. We had no money, no savings, couldn't get a mortgage, but now we own it outright. It's an amazing journey. God has added leaders to me at different times, just totally unexpected. So I just want to encourage you here in Elmshire, expectly unexpected, because that's God's, often the God's way of just bringing things into our lives. It's been so good. We were here with the leaders yesterday. I want to do something I haven't let them know I'm going to do, but I'm going to do it anyway, because I would love just to honour, I'm sure you would, just your leaders. So obviously Simon leads the team, but the team lead the church, don't they? And they do such a great job. And I'm sure you get many times to say thank you. And there's always such a generous heartedness from you, I'm sure. But I would love just to get them in a second, just to stand up. Are you the thought says Marshall and some of your wives are busy at the back, so pass that on in a minute. But it'd be really great. Just what I'd like them in a second is to stand, and I'd like the rest of us to applaud them. Would you do that? Because until you've been a leader, you think, oh, anybody could do that. And then you are a leader, you find out, oh my, actually the responsibility. But it's not just responsibility, it's the care, because these guys love you. And they will go to bed thinking about you. And sometimes they'll wake in the night thinking about you. They'll be praying for you. They'll be talking about strategy and ways forward, looking to work with the trustees and spend money wisely. So they take their responsibility, I know, before God. They hold it. They hold you in their hearts. And I thought it would be a great thing to do. Would you like to do that, church? Would you like to honour your leaders? And maybe you're here and you don't know them, but would you join the rest of the church and honour them? Maybe as you do that, you'd be praying your best prayers. We're going to honour them with applause, but just pray your best prayers for them. Just for a few moments. So if you're one of the elders and wives, be great. Just stand up where you are. And so let's pretend their other wives are with them. They're busy serving. What gracious folks they are. And the rest of us, why don't we stand and why don't you applaud and just pray our best prayers for these guys. Blessing. God's blessing. Grace be on you. Yeah. Father, we want to pray. Lord, we want to pray for the blessing of your hand. Lord, thank you that your hand is on each of these wise, loving gentlemen and their wives. Father, we pray your grace will be on them. Lord, we pray for much fruitfulness through the decisions. Lord, we pray that you'd add to the team. Father, we pray that you grow and lead them forward in all that you have. Lord, for Aylsham and beyond. Jesus, let your spirit come on them. Jesus, we love them. Lord, we thank you that leadership, eldership is appointed by you. And Lord, you chose. Thank you, you chose, Lord. So we pray, would you bless? Because you are blessing, choosing, loving God. Thank you. Bless you. Well done. Thank you. Take your seats. Don't let that be the only time. I'm sure you're always looking for opportunities, because we're in a family. It's always good just to express love around in the family. Every now and then, right this moment, I just stop and I say, okay, Jesus, what do you want to do? And say, okay, it's good to have a plan. I've got a plan. I've got to preach. But it's okay, Jesus, what do you want to do? Because I think when Jesus went around doing stuff, he didn't have his A to Z. And okay, he said, okay, Father, what are you doing? That's what it says, isn't it? He only did what he saw the Father. And I guess he said, Father, you did it like this yesterday. And maybe the Father said, actually, it's not like that today. He said, okay, well, we spat in the guy's eyes. He said, I don't want you to do it that way today. And so, Father, I just would you come with your grace to bless, to feed, to strengthen, to guide? Jesus. 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 One of the things in preparing and praying for you, I just had a sense of God's compassion And there were two things. I don't know, is there anyone, is there someone you're just about to get married? I don't know, is there someone in the church or, no wedding coming up. Well, they haven't announced it, first. I think. Okay. A long way off. I felt like God wanted to bless marriages. I think, well, that's, I mean, He does want to bless marriages. I just felt like God wanted to bless marriage. Because marriage, do you know what marriage does? Okay, it's not a sermon on a marriage coming up. But do you know what marriage does? Why has God put a husband and wife together? Why has God made it like that? Do you know? Very good. Okay, it's not just so that you can enjoy the physical aspects legally, although that's great. He's put husband and wife together on earth to show this is how I love the church. That's why. So it's not like God made marriages and thought, okay, yeah, that's a good illustration. What could that illustrate, Jesus? Okay, God made marriages to represent and show him the way Christ loves the church. So folks, your marriage is an image of Christ loving the church. I think, wow. Okay. Just give a spouse how are we doing? Actually, we need grace for that, don't we? For my marriage with Corinne to represent the way Christ loved the church. We need grace. So if you're a married couple, well, I guess you can sneak in. If you're just engaged, not yet married, why don't you just stand? I'd love to just pray. So if you're a married couple, appreciate that maybe some of you, your other partner's not here for whatever reason, serving. Just want to pray a blessing. Father, would your blessing and grace be upon every marriage here? Every marriage. Every marriage, Lord. Thank you that you initiate marriage. You set it. You set it, Lord. So we receive that divine participation, Lord, by being married. We're representing you. Oh, Lord, help us, please. Help us. Give us grace. Father, forgive us. And I pray, would your oil flow? Would your oil flow? Every marriage has tensions because two people living together, and it does. But it doesn't have to have a crack. Okay, tensions are good, cracks are not. So Father, would you come and fill in the cracks? Would you just come in with your grace? I don't know, maybe we need to go home this afternoon and just spend some time talking. I don't know, maybe you're a couple here and you've been, no one else knows, but God knows. You're thinking, is this it? Have we come as far as we can? Actually, let God fill the crack. I'm not going to ask you to put your hand up, but if that's you, just before God, say, Lord, save us. Save us. Save us. Lord, I pray right now you would bring healing grace. Lord, we all need it. All of us, we need your grace. Lord, amen. Amen. Take your seats. I want to just talk a little bit about an aspect of faith that has come alive to me over the last few years, and has such an impact. I thought, wow, it's had an impact in me. I've seen it impact on many, many people, and I believe actually I want to just leave a deposit. And it's something that Jesus was always speaking about, which surprised me as I understood it. I believe actually it's one of the most vital truths that we know. So it's right up there. And it's all about our connection, relationship with God. Because the thing is, do you know the Bible says you are made in the image of God? You know that? Genesis says God made man and woman in his image. So you're made in his image. So reversing that is, the image you have of God is identity forming. You're made in the image of God. If your image of God is such and such, then that's going to reveal yourself through him. So what that means is, if your image of God is a harsh taskmaster, a bit of a judge, he's got a stick, guess what? That's how you live out your life. Fearful, maybe, perhaps getting it wrong is, I don't want to take risks because maybe that's how God is. And certainly if you talk to other people, you want them to know that actually, you better watch out. God judges. Now he is a judge, but if our image of God is God the judge with the stick, that's how we live our lives. So when we pray, we're always saying, God, forgive me, I've messed up again, and we just feel lousy. And the way we present him, just we reproduce our image of God. And it's really vital, if we were going to represent God, that we represent him like Jesus did. I'm gobsmacked at the way Jesus represents God, because I keep thinking, he doesn't do it the way I think he should. So if you're a good Jew, Jesus is a good Jew. He's representing a holy and righteous God. And he meets a prostitute. He meets a woman caught in adultery. How would a holy, righteous God speak to this? Because Jesus speaks the words of the Father, doesn't he? So how does the Father represent himself through Jesus to a woman caught in adultery? Okay, woman, don't you know Leviticus? Let me quote you some verses. This is a holy nation, Israel, my people, and you dare to. And Jesus looks at the folks who are ready to stone her and says, okay, if you've got no sin, be feel free. And even when she's just left, he says, actually, I'm pleased it's just you and me on my own. You know, lady, we need to have a conversation. Jesus, speaking the words of the Father, draws her and releases and sends her. Or there's a tax collector. Tax collectors ripping off God's people, taking pockets of money, hiding up a tree. Jesus gets under the tree. He's ready for a big rebuke. He's God, isn't he? He knows everything. He's holy and righteous. He says, don't be false about, now don't use dodgy weights. Don't manipulate. Don't take interest. This guy's pockets and house is full of dirty money. Jesus under it, knowing everything, a holy God. He says, Zacchaeus, I want to come to your house. Oh, that messes with my mind of God speaking as I want to come to your house. Or there's Jesus washing his disciples' feet. Do you know that in John 13? He's washing his disciples' feet. He washes Peter and has that discussion. So Jesus is representing the Father, because everything Jesus does is revealing the Father. Yeah? There isn't a time where the Father says, I'll stop, Jesus, off you go. You do. Jesus says, I only do what the Father does, what I see the Father doing, and what I see the Father saying, hear him saying. So, okay, well, he washes Peter's feet. But what does Jesus do, the righteous, holy God, when he's washing Judas's feet? Holy God, represented in full flesh. Jesus is God in the flesh. Gets to Jesus and bam! Lightning strikes, judgment, cursing, spitting. He's this vile. God in Jesus also comes to Judas's feet. Lord, that messes up with my... How come? Jesus says, you know, talking about dipping the bread in. He who dips the bread in with me. I think, okay, these are the hands of the Creator in bodily form are dipping bread at the same time as a hand who's held some silver. Two hands, 6 inches apart. One that's going to have some nails within 24 hours because of the other guy who's held some silver. Jesus reveals the Father. You see? When we start to see, this is how God presents us. And so may God bring many, many people to this church too. But they won't come all nice and packaged and cleaned. They'll have all sorts of funny thoughts and they won't live like you and I might live. What do we do then? We say, I'm pleased you're here. I just would like to point out some things. Or you're going to wash their feet. Or say, come to my house. I mean, what will people think? Funny enough, that's just what they said to Jesus. What do you mean you go to house? You spend all your time with sinners and tax collectors and prostitutes. And they come to, what are people, actually, we think you're a bit messed up, Jesus. Wouldn't it be funny if Christians were known for spending all their time with those rather than we're known for spending not any of our time? Have you heard? I saw so-and-so in the pub again. That's like three times. We better give Simon a call. So these people come to Jesus and they say, Jesus, you spend all your time with these dirty, stinking, non-religious types. Jesus says, I want to tell you a story. So Jesus says, there's a guy and he has two sons. And basically one son comes to him and says, Dad, I want you dead because I want my inheritance. And just like here, you don't tend to get your inheritance until the house is left to you or whatever it is, until your parents have deceased. So he says to his dad, I want you dead. I want my money. I want my half of my inheritance. Imagine that, dads. Imagine your son, daughter coming to you this afternoon and say, we want it now. I don't want to wait till you're dead and gone. We want it now. So in answer to this question of why does Jesus spend all his time with tax collectors and sinners, Jesus tells this story about a guy who wants his dad dead. And in the story, the father gives him his money. What was it like to be the father giving your son that money? All the hopes you had for another 10 years together, because he's clearing off. He's taking the money and running. He thought, I had dreams of grandkids with you. I dreamed, you and me, we were going to share the family business. And I've been dreaming of this day when I'm going to hand to you and it'd be your name on the shop. But he takes the money and off he goes. And while he's gone, enjoys the money, spends it all on all the sorts of things that we wouldn't mention and think of on a Sunday. But it seemed to be in most EastEnders programs. And he blows it all. And then he runs out of money. You know the story. And as he runs out of money, he needs a job and he works in a pig farm. And he's so hungry, he just wants to eat the pig food. That's fairly grim, isn't it? And he's eating the pig food, and one day, this is stupid. Even the servants back at the house where I grew up, they had enough food to eat and drink. I need to go back, and I'll be a servant. I've blown it, I've messed up. So I don't know what time of day it is. He gathers himself. He hasn't got any bags. He's just got some clothes and not downwind of him. He comes and he's just playing these thoughts. And obviously, last time I saw my dad, I asked for that money. And imagine how you would be going back to this estranged parent you have. He's rehearsing these lines. I'll be a servant. I'll just be a servant. At least I've got somewhere warm to live then. Little did he know that every day someone had been looking out for him. So in answer to this question that the Jews said, Jesus, why do you spend all your time with these messed up people? Jesus says there's a father who spends every day looking out, waiting. And so this son doesn't know. These Pharisees, these Jews who think they've got it sussed, they don't know. There's a father spends every day looking. Hasn't he got anything better to do? Sure, I guess he's got a business to run. He spends every day looking. And one day, this father sees a dot in the distance. Maybe some of you're praying for loved ones to come back to the Lord. May today, Lord, be a day when we see a dot in the distance. You begin to identify. Maybe some of you have family who live overseas, and you just long for that moment at Christmas or whenever it is that you'll meet again. This father sees. And what's the father do? Because then also the word starts to rip around. Because the father recognizes the way this guy's walking, and so do the rest of the village. So round it goes. You know what villages are like? Around this Middle Eastern village, goes, hey, have you heard? I don't know whether it's tweeting or whatever they do there. But the word goes around very quick. Hey, that son's coming back. Because this is a village that's full of, in this culture, the most important thing is honour. Okay, it's an honour culture. So if you bring shame on your family, it's the ultimate. Okay, that's how the Middle East works. Honour and shame are the ways that you judge right and wrong. If it brings honour, even if it's a bad thing, honour is more important. You honour your family. You do not bring dishonour. This son's dishonoured his father, wanted him dead. So they're very quick to judge. I guess they're out ready to get some pitchforks and say, clear off this father. I mean, how shameful he's been to his father. So the son's coming closer. What's the father doing? It's quite surprising. The village suddenly noticed the door of this guy's house come out and the father. He stands on the road and does something that you don't do in Middle Eastern terms, because a father is someone of dignity and again of honour. He tucks his robe in, because they had long robes down to the floor. He tucks it and he runs. He starts running. I guess the village thought, yeah, so he should. And he's gonna hit that son. He's gonna mash him to the ground. They're watching, and the father starts to run. Imagine the Hollywood scene. I don't know what music we might have, but the father is running towards the son, and the son's going, what's going through the son's thoughts? Oh my, here it goes. I just want to be your servant. I'm really sorry I messed up, and if I could just live somewhere out the back. He's practicing the lines. The father's running towards him. In answer to the question, why does Jesus spend all his time with these people? Jesus says there's a father who's looking and comes running. He's running towards the son. And then in the story in Luke, something amazing happens. When the father reaches the son, wow, it says he throws his arms around the son. He throws his arms around him and kisses him. This is a son covered in smelly stuff, dirty. The father kisses him. He hugs him and kisses him. The son's ready. I just want to be your son. But he can't get the words out because the father, my son, you're alive. You've returned. And tears. Says he cries. The father's crying. The father's crying with you, reunited with his son. He embraces him. Then Luke says, actually, then the father gives him a cloak. Father gives him a cloak. And we read the story, you know the story, and we can pass it very quickly. But what's all that about? Father gives him a cloak. You see, there's another cloak, isn't there? You know, the other end of the Bible, a cloak of many colours is given. A cloak symbolises something of acceptance and love of the father. Hey, Joseph, here's my special coat. Hey, dirty, smelly son, let me cover you. So what's it? This is a picture of God the Father saying, I cover your shame. Because all the villagers are ready for him to in one in the face. But instead, they see, hey, what's he doing, Mildred? See, I can't quite see. He's giving him his cloak. What's the father doing to it? Because he knows everyone else can see. Number one, he's covering the son's dirty, naked shame. Because the son feels nothing but shame. He knows he's messed up. He knows he's wished his father dead. He knows he's blown the money. He's got the scars and all am I standing in? He's just full of shame. The father gives him a cloak. And I was thinking, whose cloak does the father give him? It's not the son's. I mean, it doesn't say, but I think it's one of the father's cloaks. Maybe it's the one he's wearing, because he hasn't had time to think, okay, I need to find something, rush back in the wardrobe. And the father gives the cloak that he had to the son who didn't. I thought, Lord, the father gives the cloak that he has to cover the shame of the son who doesn't have. Oh, Lord. And he says, here's my ring. They haven't even got the guy cleaned up. He needs to get sorted out. And maybe you need to give him some like detox sessions and, you know, unpack this and say, okay, there's some things we need to work through. And if you can work through these things, then we'll see about accepting you. Right out there on the road, he gives him his cloak and he gives him a ring. What's the ring? The ring in that culture was something of your stamp of authority. If you had the ring with the correct whatever it would be, you would show it and you say, okay, oh, we know that family. It's like, yeah, here's the seal. So you give him the ring, you're giving him the authority that you had to represent me in business. It's like the photo. It's actually, this is a... That's my, oh, that, okay, that's fine. Yeah, that's your dad, we know. You think this guy is still messed up, still dirty, tears falling down his face. And the father says, "Here's, I'll cover your shame, and here's a ring of my authority." And he gives him some shoes. The guy's got no shoes. He gives him sandals. If you were barefoot, you were typically, that was like a slave. Slaves had bare feet because, you know, they're not that important. Shoes you had if you were somebody. You realise in that culture, shoes aren't cheap. So he says, here's some sandals. So he's got a robe and a ring and sandals. Where's all this being generated from? The father's heart. The father is revealing something in his heart. In answer to the question, why does Jesus spend all his time with these stinking people? Jesus says, let me tell you about a father's heart who is broken. Is that your image of God, the Father? The amazing thing in the story that Jesus tells, there's another brother. I won't spend much time, but just this brother does not understand and cannot accept. And in fact, he wants to reject this son. We might say, well, quite rightly. Because in our culture, it's more about right and wrong. And we know the son's done wrong. He knows he's done wrong. And the father pleads with him, says, actually, look, you've always been with me. Your brother's back. The son cannot see it. The son does not want to see it. May you be a church full of the love of the father rather than the older brother. And think, well, that's, yeah, there's some things we need to sort out. Now, I dare say, out of love and grace, there was lots of conversation that went on. But there was so much love and grace in the father. Do you know that same heart of compassion is for you this morning? And I don't just mean, okay, you've wandered off. Maybe literally spent your money on prostitution. I don't know. It doesn't just mean that, but actually for you too, you've been a Christian for 10, 20, 30 years. That's how the Father feels about you. That's why Jesus told the story. He's revealing the love of the Father. You know, the Father interrupted the Son's speech. The Son was ready with all the stuff. And I think sometimes the Father would interrupt our speech. We're so busy. Okay, here's my reading. Here's my prayers. Amen. Right, off to Tesco. I exaggerate. And the father said, I just want to tell you, Adrian, just will you turn the radio off for a bit? Will you let me come to you? We're so busy because we've been great. Okay, we come to him, and we do. Actually, we forget to wait sometimes for him to come to us. So I asked Jesus a couple of months ago, Lord, I said, I find it difficult to pray, Lord. Some days it just feels like, I preach this, I want to live it, just still sometimes feels like duty and that I ought to. Why is that? And I just felt him come back to me, just a whisper in my thoughts, to Adrian, actually, when you pray, I want to be with you. Oh, I thought my praying was all about me coming to you. Actually, when we pray, we're also saying, God, here I am, you can come to me too. And I realised that praying isn't just about me sending off these 10 emails to pray and reading through. And actually, it's also about, you want to come to me in this time too. Okay, I better restructure my time with you then. I better make sure that there's some times where I'm just like watching out for you and waiting. So I just try and do that now. I find very quickly I gravitate back into a sort of a doing prayer time. I say, no, wait for God to come to us because he wants to embrace us. You know, Paul prays for the Ephesian church, massive church, really successful. He says, I pray that the eyes of your heart would be opened. And he says, I pray that God will give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Do you know what for? This is a big church. This is a pumping church led by Timothy. Timothy, thousands of people probably in this church. Paul says, I'm praying for you, Timothy. I'm praying for you, church, that you may know him. Who? The glorious Father, he says it in Ephesians. Well, I pray that you might know him. The spirit of wisdom and revelation that you might know. This is a great church. Paul's saying, hey, guys, it's really important you might know him. So it's possible to do church. And then we have great time. I know you would do here too, but it's possible to do all that and not know him. Not know him. It's about knowing him. So our Father, he reaches out. You know, Jesus came and he says, brothers. And when you pray, Jesus says, say, our Father. I'm sure you would have heard that the word father he's using is Abba, Papa. It's a mixture of dad, but authority. So there's affection and authority. When you pray, is there that sense of, it's always brought up strong on that, sense of God's authority. Over recent years, I've realized God is authority and he's not our best mate down the pub. So we're never casual, and yet he is also my Father. I pray, God, would you strip away from me the things that make me approach you like the boss when you want to be known as the Father? And the way I do that is I repent of thinking of like you being the boss. So I had an employee-employer relationship with God. That's not the God of the New Testament. Nowhere does he talk about like that. We're sons and daughters. Where's my last little sheet? One of the ways that we can sometimes keep God as distant, perhaps like the sun, is because we feel dirty or broken. Actually, I feel I'm not worth it. What did the Father do? The Father said, you're worth it. The Father expressed his love and he ran. Didn't he? The Father gave him the cloak. Nowhere did he say, you deserve all this. Nowhere did the son have to say, actually, here's 10 bob for the cloak. Let me pay for these sandals. The Father says, what I have is yours. That's what he says to his other brother. Son, everything I have is yours. You know, that's what the Father says to you. Everything I have is yours. You think, well, I haven't prayed very well this week. Father says it's out of relationship. So sometimes we keep God at a bit of a distance because we're hurting. We feel broken. I've let God down. What do you think God does when we've let him down? I'm going to show you a film clip. I wonder if we could just line up that ready, of how a father deals with someone who's hurting, limping. It's from the Olympics a couple of years ago. So I wonder if we could pop that up. There's some music as well. Father, would you come with your grace? and your love and your mercy and your kindness. That's it.
But you don't succeed. When you get what you want, but not what you need. When you feel so tired, but you can't sleep. Stuck in reverse. And the tears come streaming down your face. When you lose something you can't replace. When you love someone but it goes to waste. Could it be worse?
Redmond has broken down. He's on the track, kneeling down.
Lights will.
House and came running. That father left the stadium and came onto the track. You and I, through Christ, have a father that became fully like you and I, was tortured to death in order that us as slaves to sin could become sons. That's your father, folks. That's your father. I wonder right now where you'll be and say, thank you, Father. Maybe you're hearing you think, I don't know this God. You can begin to, God, this Father, Father of that Adrian's talking about, Father of Jesus Christ, would you just open my heart to you. Maybe you have wondered, and you say, Father, I see that you're looking for me. I'm coming back. But maybe like me, and perhaps many of us, I realise that I live my Christian life out of duty, not understanding this Father who loved me. And I was always trying to please him when I really did please him. Because, just like the son who's dirty, he was still a son. The father knew his heart for the son. The outward dirt didn't take that away. Father, would you come? Father, that's our desire to know you. Thank you that Jesus Christ hasn't just cleaned us, but he's brought us into relationship with you. And the Spirit doesn't just come to give me languages and prophecy, but the Spirit, by the Spirit, I cry out, Abba. God's love is shed abroad in our hearts by the promised Holy Spirit. Father. 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 Let me just finish with these comments. For some of you, I know the word father is painful because you had an abusive, neglectful. Maybe you don't know your father. So when you think of God as father, guess what? He's abusive, neglectful. I think, Jesus I'm okay with, but this father, I'd rather leave that bit. The way to know the Father often involves a journey of forgiveness to our earthly fathers because they did their best. We don't dishonour them, but they didn't. None of us as earthly fathers come anywhere near the Father. So some of us, we need to let our fathers go in the sense of, okay, Dad, I forgive you. I know you did your best. Some of us, actually, that's even more costly. Say, Dad, I forgive you for what you did. Because as long as we hold that, it's like fathers keep off, and that includes you. Actually, if you want to know the Father, I need to let down my guard to know this embrace. I've got to allow a father to touch my shoulder again. I know for some of us that can be massively painful. But I want to encourage you to know that there's one Father who loves you perfectly, without deceit, without trickery, without anything but grace in his heart for you. So I wonder if we could stand. I wonder if the musicians, band, if you could come back. I wonder if we could all just stand a moment. I wonder if we just begin to reach out to the Father and know that he comes running. If that's on your knees, that's fine. If that's lifting your hands, the Father is here this morning for you and for I. Why don't you welcome him? Father, I receive you. Father, I open my heart to you. Father, I open my heart. Why don't you, I want to encourage you just to use words. Use your own words if you like, but speak them. Appreciate you may not always be comfortable with that, but actually to speak out words out of the overflow of our heart, our mouth speaks. Father, I open my heart to you. open my heart to you. I open my heart to you. Thank you for your grace. Thank you that you sing over us. Thank you that you receive us and love to come to our homes. Father, thank you that there's mercy. Father, I just want to pray now that God would show you, is there anything that you need to, between you and your earthly father? Appreciate maybe your parents are no longer alive, but we can live for many years still under their rule, under their shape. We want to honour them completely, but maybe it's just like, okay, Dad, I forgive you. 50 years later, I'm still carrying resentment that you said. Prayed with one person years back, and they'd wanted a boy, and she was a girl. She needed to forgive. Years later, it was still alive in her heart that I'm a girl, and my dad was disappointed. So why didn't you ask, Holy Spirit, will you show me if there's anything? And then as you do, I want you just to picture in front of you your dad. And I want you to just tell your dad, so Dad, that hurt when you said. And there's so many of us in our country, it was the fact that our dads didn't know how to show affection. Perhaps growing up in the war years, they may not have been the most affectionate. You think, Dad, you never hugged me. Maybe that was how they grew up too. But actually, we can forgive. Dad, I forgive you. I used to long for a hug, but I forget. But right now, perhaps could we have a bit of music, Pete, or something just sort of in the background? Why don't you just speak out those words of forgiveness? Dad, I forgive you for being cross when I messed up on the grades. Dad, I forgive you. When your dad says, you got what wrong? So, well, I got most of them right, but you got that one wrong. What? Okay, Dad, I forgive you. So just right where you're at, would you just speak out? Okay, Dad, I forgive you. What you're really doing is taking the hook out of your heart and giving it into Jesus. We're not saying it didn't matter or it wasn't important. We're just saying, Jesus, would you carry this? I can't carry this any longer. Jesus. Jesus. Jesus, I forgive Dad. I forgive him. Forgive my dad that he wasn't there. Like the other kids, they had a dad. My dad wasn't there. Or maybe your dad was there. He was just passive. He just never really got engaged. Watched the telly, read the paper. Your dad, I forgive you. I know you loved me. Maybe he had a great dad. They're all great dads in many ways. Father, ask, would you come and draw us? Draw us. Lord, the gospel is the doorway into knowing you as Father. Being filled with your Spirit is a bubbling up of Father. Lord, thank you that your cry from heaven is one day as you come to earth, the holy city. Lord, you say, now my dwelling's with my people, just like it was at the beginning, walking, being among my people. Father, thank you. That's your heart. Lord, not a separation, but a coming to us. Thank you, Father. That's the gospel. God among us. Come. Father, I wonder if you could lead us in a appropriate song.